Good morning, everybody. God bless you.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
So this morning's topic that I picked to talk about is that I just felt led to speak on is not really deep. So just kind of a little topic I felt led to just kind of look at. Faith in action. So, you know, a lot of times we'll come to church and we believe what the preacher's saying. We say, I believe it. And we hang on to our faith, and yet we don't realize that you can actually do something with your faith. If you'll turn it loose, it can accomplish a purpose. It can do something with it. So I just kind of want to look at that we're supposed to have faith and then put it in action. Like Brother Randall talked about the seraphims with their wings that were constantly in movement. They had, you know, wings over their face, wings over their that they flew with, wings over their feet, and the wings that they were in motion with, they were constantly in action, moving. So in the message, put your faith to work. The message, God's provided a way of healing.
Yes.
In 1954, Brother Randall said, now when you say you got faith for divine healing, and something strikes you and says, move out, that's the confirmation that God has received your faith for divine healing. That's right. When you got courage to put your faith in action. But when you say you got faith and afraid to let it go, your faith is dead. Mm. See, but when you got faith and willing to let it go, then God's confirming it with the signs following, and you'll see your healing. Mm-hmm. So when you can let it go. Now, a lot of times letting it go comes in different forms. You tell somebody, if you're sick, when you begin to tell somebody, I believe God's word, and you begin to confess, I believe that God is still a healer. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or the same thing with new birth. I believe that God promised it. I believe that God is able to give it to me. Then you're releasing that faith.
Right.
You're turning it loose. In your confession and the way that you act, the way that you walk, and you're taking a hold of God's word and just letting it loose.
Mm-hmm. Should we confess, like, thank you for giving?
Absolutely. Confession is lining up what you say with what God's word says. So if God's word says you're healed, speak it. Say, I believe God's word. I believe that God already paid the price for it. He paid the price on the cross. And there's nothing else for me to do but believe it. Now Brother Ram said, in faith and action, and this is really, I got to reading this message, and this is kind of where maybe where this came from. Brother Ram said, now faith is not based upon the shifting sands of man's ideas. Now, that's something that kind of maybe we just want to nail down for a second this morning, because a lot of times we can get so caught up in emotions and feelings and things, and we look for God to kind of speak to us in like a feeling or a sensation or a light or something, and we use that to determine whether or not God has spoken to us or not. But the real thing that Brother Branham said that we go back to, that he says faith has to have a resting place, and if we keep reading, then he says the only solid resting place for faith is on God's word. So you got to have a proof, something to rest your faith in.
Right.
And that thing, let us be honest, the devil, a lot of times he'll come in, he can so easily impersonate sensations and lights and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really one of the dangers with speaking in tongues and all those kind of things, is that that's one of the easiest ways for the devil to just swoop in and impersonate that.
That's right.
But the one thing he cannot impersonate is a revelation of God's word. Amen. So if you go back and take it back to God's word and see what God said about it, then you can rest on that and have something that you can put in action. Now, he gave the example, if you were going to get married, the woman that you'd marry, you'd have to have faith in her. She'd have to have faith in you, because it can't be based upon something else. And you know, that's kind of a good example, because a lot of times you could get in your head that the person that you're talking to or whatever is the right person or whatever, but you got to have it based on something.
Right.
In other words, before you got married, you would want to have confidence in that other person. You would want to have confidence that they're going to lead you closer to God and all those kind of things. God's word is a solid rock of any faith that anybody wants to have in the supernatural. It must be placed first in the word of the living God. How that when men of old and in all ages, when they would really find the word of God, and could grasp it, faith went into action right away. So let's kind of think about what faith is. Faith is like, I just put this image of this locomotive plowing through the snow. We got all this snow, in other words, all like circumstances. And that locomotive don't care about that snow. It's just, whoa. Right. Because that's how faith is. And I looked at some of the things, the ways that Brother Branham explained faith, and he said it ignores circumstances. It doesn't look at symptoms. And now today we've got a lot of symptoms. My work has been just a madhouse of everybody going on about the coronavirus and everything. And by the symptoms, by looking at things that are happening in China and India and all that kind of stuff, it looks pretty scary. The snow might look scary to somebody trying to you know, go somewhere. But faith says, I don't care about the circumstances. When the doctor says you got cancer, or the doctor says you got some kind of horrible disease, or somebody's a preacher might say, well, the Holy Ghost is not for you. I believe you were born after 1977 or whatever. Faith says, I don't care. I'm ignoring the circumstances. I'm plowing ahead. Yeah. Faith ignores what people say. Because, young people, as you get older, you'll find that people will say all manner of kind of things. And faith, if you're grounded and rooted in faith, it don't care. If somebody will say, the promise is not for you, and they'll try to put all kinds of doubts. Yeah. But faith ignores it. Faith is not ashamed, going back to what people say. After you get the new birth, your friends might be trying to ridicule you and say, well, what you got is not the real thing, or the devil kind of trying to be put all kind of thoughts in your head and stuff. Faith is like a big old brawny, burly, like Arnold Schwarzenegger that rises up, just got that big old huge faith muscles.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Who cares what anybody says? Mm-hmm. Faith has no hindrance. Faith knows where it stands. And these are some things that Brother Branham said about faith. Faith says, shut up and sit down.
That's right.
We'll look at the quote where he said that. In other words, when the devil comes along and tries to tell you all kinds of things, faith just says, just sit down. I ain't got no time for that nonsense. Mm-hmm. Faith is burly and brawny, and faith sees only victory. Mm-hmm. And that's what faith is. Faith, and how do you get faith? By reading the Word, by hearing the Word, by coming to church. Faith cometh by hearing. Because what is faith? Faith is a revelation of the Word. A revelation of the Word will give you this kind of an attitude towards circumstances and symptoms and all those kind of things. When the enemy comes out in like a flood, then God will raise up a standard. And what is his standard? His Word. A revelation of his Word. And that is the thing that will defeat the enemy every time.
Yes.
In the message of shame, Brother Ram said, he said, Mr. God, so look like when you pray for people, you apologize. Mr. Devil, would you please move over and let me? Nothing. Faith has got muscles and hair on his chest. When it speaks, everything else shuts up. Don't go in, Mr. Devil. You move out. Yeah. Get out of here. I'm a son of God, a commission of God. Leave them alone. That moves. You have no apology to the devil. Nothing to do with him. Not ashamed of the Word of God. Not ashamed of your commission. Not ashamed of who we are. No. But as his servant, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of his Word. No. That's big old brawny faith that can just take God's Word and stand on it.
Yes.
In the message, faith cometh by hearing, Brother Ram said, now faith, don't look at that. Faith comes around. I don't care nothing about conditions. God said so, and it's mine. You see, faith's birth. As I once said, faith has hair on the chest. When it stands up and pulls its big muscles out, everything else vanishes away. When faith really takes a hold, nothing else stands. Now what I'm talking about is, when you come to church and say, I believe, that's all good and everything. But you can turn that faith loose, and it will have an impact on your family. It will have an impact on your relationship with God, on things that maybe you think are impossible.
Right.
You got a powerful weapon down on the inside, just kind of a burning away, that fire on the inside. And if you let that loose, it will unleash the power of God.
Yes.
Turn it loose. Genuine faith don't take no for an answer. It's got hairs on the chest. It's big and burly. It speaks and everything else sets down. That's all. You know, you think about that. Genuine faith don't take no for an answer. If you've got God's word, and you come to, like, for example, the new birth, the promise of the new birth, the promises unto you and to your children.
Right.
If you come to him and you might think, well, he's telling me no. It doesn't seem like it's happening. Faith does not take no for an answer. You're resting upon the word of God.
Amen.
And you know, that's what faith really is when you find something in the Bible and you're like, I believe this. Or you'd sit in church and you're like, you know, that's the truth.
Right.
And then you can come back to God and lay it at his feet and say, you promised it.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Right. See, you're obligated to keep your word. See, it says, you say, shut up, faith will. Sit down. Shut up. Don't even feel it. That's it. Sure, it's looking at what God said. God said so, so faith believed it. If you can just hold on faith and just let faith take over, it makes the rest of them look like little doors. It just makes them sit down because he's the boss. Got great big brawny muscles, and I tell you, everything else, all feelings and superstitions and little isms and things, just sets down when faith takes over.
That's it.
And when faith takes over, you know that God is going to come on the scene. You know that you've already got your healing, even though it might not be yet manifested in your body. You know that the promise is going to be given to you because your faith is resting on the word of God.
Yes.
Brother Ryan said, brother, what's sitting on you? I think maybe just kind of imagine, you got the sword of the word in your hand. You can say, well, do you realize what you are in possession of? What's in your hand? Why? It's got right in you. It's in your heart. He's talking to somebody through discernment out in the congregation. It's in your heart. It's all over you. The Holy Ghost, do something about it. Throw it out there and trust God. Say, certainly God promised it to me, and I believe it. He says it, and believe from the heart. It takes your faith anchored yonder in God. Say, God, it is the truth. There alone I stand, and let that just keep in here until it drops down into here from your head to your heart till it becomes a reality. Then it'll work. Only can it work when it comes to the heart.
That's right.
In other words, it's going to work if you just turn it loose. It will accomplish its purpose.
Amen.
And he said in the fundamental foundation for faith, he said, now if we could throw ourselves completely to God and to his will and be lost to our own thoughts and just let the mind of Christ be in us, them same operations of the Spirit would work through us just as the natural things does, just the same thing. And he says, God and his word is inseparable. You cannot have God without having his word. And when you have his word, you have God.
Yes.
When you have his word and you believe his God, that you believe it, then that is God manifesting himself in your life. And when you throw yourself completely over to God and allow him to work in you by believing his word, then it will bring the same operation of the Spirit be working through you.
Yes.
That's why we believe that in 2 Peter, Peter said, according as his divine power, he's talking about you get the new birth. He's talking about he's laying out what faith is.
Right.
You start off with your own faith, you're believing, and then God, when he gives you the new birth, he's imparting to you his own faith.
That's right.
And I'm kind of laying this out because I want to impress upon you that you got something that you can do something with.
That's right.
According as his divine power, he gives us his divine power. You're partakers of the divine nature. And then he said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So you've got the divine power. You've got the divine nature. And that is faith. So add to your faith, virtue. And so you start off with this faith.
Yeah.
This faith.
Yeah.
That God has given you is his faith.
Yes.
Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's his faith.
That's
it's
right.
His faith.
That's right.
That you're living by.
That's right.
So, in other words, it's like a locomotive that's sitting on the train tracks, and down on the other side is this fire that's burning. You got faith, but the locomotive might be sitting there, and it's got all of this potential to pull a great big old train load of cars, but it's just sitting there on the track. Something's got to happen to allow that thing to begin to move, and what's got to happen is the engineer reaches over and opens that throttle up, and it begins to move. So you got to turn loose that faith in your life. Brother Remnant said, in faith and action, he said, if Moses would have took the Pharaoh's throne, he'd have been known as another Pharaoh. He'd be gone and in torment today. But he's immortal among men today because he chose, rather, and put his faith into action. In other words, he didn't just sit beside the burning bush. But when God gave him faith, when he saw a revelation of God there at the burning bush, he took his little staff and went down into impossibility. He went down into an impossible looking situation and ignored circumstances, ignored all of the obstacles that were in his way, and just said, like right here highlighted, God said so. And he was vindicated by an angel who come down and talked to him and told him that he was born for this purpose. And Moses knew what he was talking about. So he didn't stand by and baby around with it. He put his faith into action.
Yes.
That's what it takes. No matter how much faith you got, if you won't use it, it's no good to you. If you won't use it, it's no good to you. And that's how, you know, a lot of people, they'd be sitting around and I believe it, but yet our family's in all disarray and you're all sorts of predicaments and things that assail us. Right. And it's really because we won't open that throttle and turn it loose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What good is a God of Moses if he ain't the same God today? What good is a historical God? You people who go to church and your church only teaches that some historical fact about the Holy Ghost coming back on the day of Pentecost, there's no such a thing today. There was healing back there. What good does that do to you? But look, Jesus Christ lives. He died. He rose again according to the scriptures. Is alive forevermore. In other words, he's still here and able to bring his word to pass if you'll just turn loose and believe it. And turn your faith loose.
Amen.
He said, now this is, I really wanted to, this is one thing that I just kind of love to get on, is that you don't have to produce it.
Amen.
It's not you. Now, let's kind of meditate on this for a second. In a natural situation of a man and a woman in a marriage, the woman might have a job or whatever, and she brings home some money or whatever, but spiritually now, the man and the woman are in a different kind of relationship. The bride and the bridegroom, as our relationship with God, the bride does not have to produce healing. It is the bridegroom that does it.
Right.
All you have to do is believe. That's all Eve had to do to bring forth a child was just believe Adam's word when he spoke it. Let there be. All you got to do is just believe it. And she would have had a child, but she didn't go on with God's word. So you don't have to, we think, well, I gotta manufacture something. That takes the burden off of us. All we gotta do is believe it. It's not up to us to produce the healing.
Right.
It's not up to us to produce the salvation. It's not up to us to fight our battle. We're not the one fighting the battle.
Right.
And all of those Old Testament stories, all David did was just throw a stone. How could David with a little stone defeat a big old Goliath with a spear and all those kind of things? How could Gideon fight that battle? How could Daniel defeat the lions? It's never the bride in relationship to God that's actually doing the thing other than just believing. How could around Jericho, how could they make the walls tumble down?
It's not
the people doing anything other than just confessing God's word.
Right.
You're not the one that has to produce it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Praise
God. I know. Take a step back.
Yes.
He said, now maybe you don't believe that. You say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. See, don't let the devil know that. Always say, I've got faith. I believe God with all my heart.
Amen.
Don't testify nothing of the devil. He said, take him at his word. Then it's all over on God then and not on you. When you take him at his word, it puts everything on God. It's not you're not obligated to bring God's word to pass.
Yeah.
He is the one that is obligated to bring his word to pass.
That's good.
As
above,
long as you take
which, I love that right above the red. That,
when you accept him as your healer, don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Believe that you're healed.
That's right.
As long as you take God at his word, then the word will produce what it promised it to do. Is that right? Now have faith. Believe him with all your heart. Just want to ask you this upon these basis. Do you believe this to be the word of God? It cannot lie then if it's God's word. It has to be true. Then if it's God's word and it is true, then he's obligated to every word that he's spoken here. He's obligated to keep that word. You see what that does? It puts it all back on the man in the relationship.
That's right.
Man is the one. Jesus is the one that is obligated to produce his word.
Amen.
Now, because, you know, a lot of times we feel like if we're not getting healed quickly or not, then people are going to look at us, well, I don't know if they got our faith.
Yeah.
But see, that takes the burden of proof off of you. You're not the one that's obligated.
Amen.
All you got to do is believe. And so if it looks like you're not getting healed, or you're not being blessed in the service, or you're not getting what you come, maybe your kids are not coming back to the Lord fast enough or whatever, it's all on him. All you got to do is believe.
Amen.
That's
right. Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
That is good.
And he said, oh, if we could only get that settled in our hearts, how can a cancer be cured when the doctors give up?
Yeah.
It's not. It's how can it be cured when the doctors say there is no way? It's not me to try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's take the word of the Holy Spirit. He was the one who made the promise.
Amen.
He's the one who confirms that promise.
Amen.
He's obligated to keep that promise.
Okay.
That's right.
That puts it all back on him.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't up to the doctor to try to find a way to give you what you need. It ain't up to you to figure it out.
No,
it's all on him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So you don't have to produce it, which means if you need any of these things that I've listed out, then it's time to just open up that throttle and believe God's word, trust him to bring his word to pass, and watch it happen in your life. Because there's all these promises in the Bible, all the benefits, as that Psalm of David said, forget not his benefits. All these benefits that we have access to, if we'll just believe him.
That's
so, if you need protection from disease, oh my goodness, the coronavirus coming around.
Yeah.
If you need healing for your body, if you need the new birth, or if you need salvation for your children, or if you need a job, I don't know what direction my life is supposed to have, or I've gone through when. Start getting into testimony territory. I remember when Esther was when my wife was in labor with Esther. I had been laid off from a job a month before that, and I had no job when she was born. And that was when the economy crashed, and I didn't know. Everywhere you go, nobody was hiring. That's when you got to put your faith to work. You look into the Word of God, and there's promises there.
Right.
And you got to, it's fine to come to work and say, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But there comes a point when you got to open up that throttle and let the steam go to work.
Amen.
And I believe, Brother Bram said, virtue is a pass for it to pass through. It's just like that locomotive where there's a fire down on the inside. But you got to open up the
throttle
and let it out.
That's right, amen.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
That's good.
For guidance on what to do, how to raise your family, how to do things, let that faith go to work. Because in Luke chapter 8, Jesus said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God.
Right.
In other words, if you plant a seed, there's a law of God that a seed planted is going to come up and produce something. So if the seed of God, the seed is the word, if the word of God is planted in your heart and is planted in good ground, it is going to produce something.
Amen.
It's going to produce the word. It's going to come up.
That's right.
And Brother Ram said in the Church of the Living God, I know we've got 5 more minutes. The word of God is the seed that produces the gospel, and every divine promise of God in the Bible will produce, if it's met in the right kind of a heart, it'll produce the promise. If you have need of salvation, believe that he saved you and accept his sacrificial death, and you shall receive what you've asked for. If you're weary and gloomy and feel like that everyone's against you, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's a seed. Accept it. And if you're sick, he was wounded for our transgressions, with his stripes we're healed. Accept it. It's a seed. Will produce.
Right.
It will produce.
Amen.
Did I put that in twice? Yeah, sure did. Now I get just put on all these examples of people that, despite circumstances, despite obstacles of life, they just put their faith into action. Abel did not care what Cain said. He was going to bring that offering and cut his throat and let the blood run down, despite all the laughing and everything that Cain did. Noah did not care about all the laughing as he built that ark for 100 years.
That's
as
right.
He worked and labored and people scoffed at him. Then finally he went into the ark and was saved. Abraham did not care about all the laughing and the odd looks in people, from even his own family and Lot and all the different things that happened. Moses didn't care about Pharaoh saying, "What in the world are you doing? Coming in here with a staff?"
Right.
And all of the people laughing. Faith is a big and brawny and just goes in and takes over. Mm-hmm. It takes charge.
Amen.
David didn't care about all the Israelites standing there laughing. Who his own brother? What are you coming in here? I know that you're just about for some nonsense. Mm-hmm. But you go back and read that story of him and Goliath. All the Israelites. What are you doing here? You just want to see what's going on. You're just here to cause trouble. He didn't care. He's like, he looked at Goliath and said, "Is there not anybody here worthy to go fight against this guy?" And that's what real faith does.
Yeah.
You got to turn it loose.
Yeah.
Just because all those Israelites, they were Israelites, but they were just standing there watching.
Right.
But David turned his faith loose and did something.
Amen.
Brother M said there was a time when the toxin, there wasn't any. And many people died from the diseases. But now you can be inoculated. Mm. God one day made a toxin. And he's talking about like when you go to the doctor and you get shot up to prevent diseases and everything.
Yeah.
And he says, in the hour of his death, the inoculation healed.
That's right.
He says, what is a cancer? What is a disease? Because I'm talking about it. Did you know the Bible predicts that in the last days there'll be a germ warfare, that diseases will break out upon the people and will fall on everyone without the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
Wow.
Wow.
My arms are sore now from where the doctor says punch needles in to try to inoculate me from yellow fever and so forth. I told them I didn't need it, but they wouldn't listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what God's going to do. God's got a serum, and it's called the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And when that serum goes in, it'll inoculate.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
Yes.
We're finishing up
yes.
here. He said, well, if the plague falls, we'll just go down beneath. He's talking about the children of Israel down in Egypt. We'll just go down beneath the ground in a cave and shut the door down. That won't do it one good. We'll stay in the house and put a mask over our face and put some disinfectant on it. It didn't do it pretty good. But God made a provided way, and it was what? The blood. God provided it, as simple as it seemed,
Amen.
To take the blood of a lamb and sprinkle the door. Yet God said that was his way, and he honored it.
That's it.
And Brother Ram said it in questions and answers. He said, God is love, perfect love, but you don't know what love is. That's why people today don't know what faith is. God is love. He has to be in love. He's sovereign to his word, and he has to keep his word. He has to love you, and if he loves you, he's got to protect you.
Amen.
Amen.
And we'll stop right there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.